Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can also watch us on NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, April 20th. I'm John Paul Flame, joined as always by Johnny Cakes Allville.
Good morning, everybody.
Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
Hey, what's up?
That is the foursome. It is NFL draft week.
My God.
So we will talk some NFL draft this week. We'll also talk about The Last Dance, which aired last night, first two episodes at least, which personally left me feeling a little empty and wanting for more. If that was a binge TV show, you would have watched more than just two episodes. But we'll get into that. Also, Jason LaConfora from CBS Sports, he'll join us later in the program to give us a little insight into what's going on behind the scenes from the NFL draft. I woke up this morning to see a mock draft. I think it was Peter King and the people from Football Night in America who had the Dolphins trading up to the third pick to draft Justin Herbert, not Tua.
Hmm. Well, everyone and their mother has a mock draft out there, so there's only been about 5,000 of them.
Yep.
And they're all different.
It's just interesting that Tua is dropping right now in a lot of people's eyes. You wonder, is that a real thing, or is that, you know, sort of teams just kind of putting that out there?
And do the Dolphins really feel like they have to – would they have to move to three to get Herbert? I feel like they could just sit there at five and he'll be there, but – who knows? Who knows what will happen?
I'd be shocked if Tua dropped below six.
I'd be shocked if he dropped below three, to be honest with you. But three or four or five, I guess five.
Yeah, five. I mean, if someone trades up to three, yes. Yeah. But, again, like Cake said, you might be able to just sit there at five and still get him. Or
just
six.
Just weird, man. I think he's going to be really good if he stays healthy. But
we'll
I guess
see.
That's the whole thing. I guess that's the whole thing.
So Thursday night, right? 8 o'clock?
Yeah, first, I guess I'm trying to work up a lather for it.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine by Thursday.
Yeah, you only got to watch two picks, EB, until the Redskins draft Chase Young.
Yeah. I like to get into the draft. It's just weird. It's still weird. I mean, I know it's like the one thing that we have to look forward to, but it's weird.
Everything's weird.
I know. It just feels, I don't know. It doesn't even feel right, even though it's coming up.
Are you in a better mental state today than you were on Friday, or
what was my mental? What was my mental state on Friday?
I don't know. Do you feel any different? Do you feel any better? Do you feel any worse? Any good news
same.
Over the weekend?
No, same. I mean, I just feel like
it's all the same. It all blends, Jason.
No, just, but I mean, I feel like in a sense that we're getting a little bit closer to some sense of normalcy. We are, I think, feel like we are trending in the right direction, but I mean, I still think it's a long
It's a ways away. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the new normal is going to be us walking around with masks 6 feet away from each other.
Yep. Settle in for the long haul.
You know, going to a restaurant and having people 10 feet away.
Yeah, and it's going to depend on your governor. Governor Hogan's been pretty aggressive. I saw him on some of the national talk shows yesterday saying that Maryland doesn't have enough testing, and before they have, they don't have enough testing, they can't do anything. So he was saying they don't have enough swabs. I thought, you know, maybe Q-Tip could step in and send some swabs, but...
Virginia said the same thing. Northam said the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to take time. I mean, they had to work on the vaccine, or not the vaccine, the ventilator issue. And then, you know, there's just so many things that to try to do. The governors want them to snap their fingers and have 300 million tests. And then once you get the, you know, in theory, you're going to need like a billion tests because people are going to be retesting and retesting and retesting.
Correct.
So it's just, you know, you're not going to be able to just snap your fingers and have a billion tests.
By the way, I woke up this morning also to read a story about Novak Djokovic. Did you guys see the story?
Yeah.
What a dog.
He's an anti-vaxxer. I had no idea. I had no idea that Drab's
Unbelievable.
Boy was an he's the anti-vaxxer crowd. It's very disturbing.
Right.
So is he saying that if tennis resumed, and I've always said, you know, Eric has been saying that golf is the easiest sport to resume. I've always thought tennis, because you see two guys, right? Okay, you need an umpire and maybe a couple lines people, balls, ball boys, whatever, if you want to make it look professional. But you really don't need that many people. Is he saying that if tennis returned by having everybody take vaccines, he would opt out?
No, I think he said he'd have a choice to make.
He's saying he would just have a decision to make.
Yeah. If his choice is to make millions upon millions winning
he'll
titles,
take the vaccine.
He'll take the shot. Okay,
yeah, I mean, if he wants to play, he's going to take it.
Yeah.
I don't understand, though. I mean, a guy like that, if you don't take your vaccines, man, you're like a menace. Like, you're going to get measles and give it to people or whatever it is.
Well, not only that, you're a menace, but you also spread that message to other people who then start believing that you shouldn't take vaccines, which is even worse, in my opinion, because then you have a bunch of uninformed people running around not getting vaccinated against diseases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, most people are uninformed, even if you inform them. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Look,
I'm
uninformed, but if somebody tells me to take a vaccine that's going to fight off a deadly disease or a virus, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to give it to my kids.
He will. I mean, unless he doesn't want to play, he's going to take it.
Right.
Well, I'm just encouraged, going back to what we were talking about before, if there is such a thing as being encouraged by these stories, there's more and more stories coming out, anecdotal evidence from all over the world that, you know, maybe 50 times more people than we think have actually had this asymptomatically, or, you know, they just thought it was the flu or a cold. And that's good. That's really good, because it means the mortality rate is way lower than what people think.
Right.
So, and if that's the case, then you really could start to lift the restrictions, you know, in a more confident way.
You just wonder what's going to happen with all those people that, like, stormed the beaches in Florida and all the people that were, like, protesting, that were together. How many of those people are going to come down with coronavirus?
Well, they're all dum-dums, too.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, if you reopen the beaches, I guess you can maybe do it responsibly, though it's tough to monitor, you know, all those people in a public place. But the people that are standing on these street corners with signs in front of the Baskin-Robbins and Huntington Beach, like, especially with their kids, like, right next to them, exposing them. I mean, what are you doing?
Well, but people are just, they're losing their minds.
I understand you have your freedoms and you want liberty. You don't want the government, you know, encroaching too much on your life. But
no, it's more than that, Cakes. It's those people lost their jobs and they have no income and they need to make
money
and they're going broke.
They're pissed.
And they're dying. I mean, you see the food lines. I mean, it's
insane. To be fair, those protests, they weren't that well attended, luckily. It's not like there were thousands of people.
They're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because these people don't necessarily differentiate between getting sick with a virus that they don't think they can get, or being dead broke. Right? They're both at their wit's end in both situations. And that's what the way they're desperate. That's what they are. And, you know, they got to get out there. And it's just, that's why it's so awful, is because most of the population doesn't have it. You know, the majority of the population doesn't have it. They're like, what's
way
going on?
Way more than the vast majority. I mean,
yeah,
if
exactly.
You see even the estimates of where it's like 50 times more, it's still only like 3% of the population or something.
Right. So 97% of the people are going, what the F? I mean, right. We need to work.
Right.
It's just tough.
Yeah.
Well, the death count went over 40,000 this weekend. So that should actually be concerning to people. Those people that do want to get back to work, everybody wants to go back to work. But you should be concerned about that people still are dying.
Of course.
And that you can pass it to those people.
Of course. And I'm totally for it. And I, you know.
That's the way we feel, yes.
I'm totally
but not everybody
for that,
feels
JP.
Like that.
You know me. I've been aggressive on this the whole time, too. But, you know, if it turns out it's not nearly as lethal, even though 40,000 people have died and, you know, every person that dies is tragic, but a lot of those people were going to die from any virus that they get. You know?
True, but this is 40,000 with all of this mitigation. Had you not had this mitigation, the numbers would be much, much higher.
I agree. I agree. And I'm not saying I regret any of it, but I'm just saying I support it. But mm-hmm. at some point, and sooner rather than later, we can't just have 20 million starving people.
Yeah. That being said, I think it is going to get, we are getting closer and closer to things returning to normal. You're hearing, we'll open up the Junkie Sports page at 7 o'clock. But every league seems to have a plan now, from the NHL to Major League Soccer. They all have plans. I mean, we'll see what happens because it depends on the states. It depends on a lot of things. But I think we're getting closer and closer to opening things back up.
You know, yep. You guys,
hope you're right.
Probably, you know, this does not really affect you because you don't care that much. But I think all of the leagues will be back, and they're clearly going to be back without fans, and it's going to be a while and whatever. But they'll be. I wonder how the new lacrosse league with Paul Rabil, and we've had mm-hmm. Paul on the show a bunch mm-hmm. of times. I wonder how that one's going to pull it off because they're so young and they need their fans. You know what I mean? They don't get 80,000 fans to go to the stadium.
Yeah, if they have a nice TV deal, but they definitely need to pack those spots.
I mean, their TV deal with NBC is huge, and that's mm-hmm. what's going to make them. And they're going to make it. I'm not going to suggest they aren't, but this is going to be a brutal year if they have to go without fans because they don't necessarily still have that fan base yet to watch at home. You know what I mean?
For a fledgling
they're still growing.
League. I mean, it's bad for all the sports, obviously, but for a league that's just getting off the ground and they had a really nice, you know, rookie campaign and they were looking to build on that, and now it's just it's so up in the air. It just sucks because we know how much work and effort Paul and his brother and everybody associated with that league puts into it.
It's just huge for the sport.
Yeah.
Let's get him on the show. Talk to him.
Yeah, we should. We should. I got to get him on my podcast.
Yeah,
that's what I
got to
do. Got to get him on podcast. Taping another episode tomorrow night, actually.
By the way, so on Friday we did the horse racing virtual happy hour deal.
Did you like that, Lurch?
Yeah. I was just Zoom with 10 people on it. I mean, everyone's talking over each other. You know, there's no point in talking. I was just watching the races, trying to pick fatties. Anyway,
well, you know, you don't have to do like a radio show. It's just a hang.
No, I understand that. But, you know, everyone's talking. Anyway, so I lost money actually picking the horses, right, during the races. Yeah. But I won money, and I actually continued to do it Saturday and Sunday yesterday.
This is your new thing.
On the head-to-head matchups.
You love head-to-heads.
Yeah, so my site will offer head-to-head matchups between two horses. I did 11 on Friday. I went 8-3. Saturday, I did 20. I went 9-7, and there were 4 cancels, so I guess the horse pulled out. So I won a little bit of money there. And then yesterday, I went 13-7, I think. Anyway, won
smashing
a little bit more
it.
Money. So I won money all 3 days in the head-to-heads. And so it's at Gulfstream and at Oaklawn and at Tampa.
So that's your new thing.
Now.
I got you hooked.
You did. You got me hooked. And anytime it's offered, I go through there and I'm picking mostly favorites, but yesterday I went to the Tampa card and picked a bunch of dogs, and they all hit.
Yeah. See, so, when the dogs hit, you have a bonanza.
Correct.
And that's what happened with me. So I ended up losing 41.90.
Yeah,
I thought
I lost
a lot more.
I lost 44 bucks.
I lost 41.90 on Friday, but I made 14 bets. I couldn't have had more fun. I hit 3 exactas, but – and Valdez could chime in on this if he wants – but none of my long shots came in. If I get one of the long shots to come in, especially come in at first,
mm-hmm.
it makes your whole day.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
When you're betting exactas. So I had an absolute blast. I tell you, there's nothing like cheering your horse coming around the stretch or horse
says. Fun.
Right?
I mean, I had a great time, but all I was doing was piggyback riding off of Pete Medhurst, Valdez, and not Nubs Doug McKinney from NBC Sports Washington. because I couldn't have known less about any of the horses.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
Who to pick. I would just hear somebody yell out, like, take the 4, 7, and 2, and then I would just input that bet. And every once in a while, I'd throw in, like, a long shot, like, just to win.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wound up losing, like, $40, $45.
Totally worth it.
Over the span of 2 hours. It's entertainment.
For me, my strategy, when you bet exactas, you have to include at least somewhat of a long shot in each one, because that's the only way you get paid.
Yeah.
If you just bet favorites every exacta, I mean, you're going to lose money. You know, your long shots have to hit, and you just need one of those. Because I think Valdez, did he hit one triple or two?
I think he hit two.
I hit one triple.
Yeah,
he hit one triple.
He thought he hit two. Maybe maybe there was a change or something. but you hit one triple. And that's even way better than an exacta. And you're going to get paid, especially if one of the longer shots gets in there.
Eric, I made 55 total wagers on head-to-heads over the weekend.
That's quite
that's
a
awesome.
Lot.
Getting your fix.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it is fun just rooting for your horse. It's just a fun thing
to
do.
We had a lot of people participate. I think up to over 700 people at one point.
Yeah, and Valdez did a great job. Did a great job.
I don't know how he kept it all straight.
My head was spinning.
Yeah, but you did a great job, and I wouldn't want to change it, even though it's hard on you, because I think it's just more fun to hear everyone screaming their bets out at you and to watch you scramble.
Well,
and
I think I'm the only one that can manage it.
Oh, for sure.
I understand what everyone wants.
Oh, no one else could do that. Other than if we could each just put our own bets in.
Although if we did it the next time, I will say that I'll have to do more of the races ahead of time because I could barely look at any of the sheets.
Yeah,
I wasn't even looking at the sheet. I was just looking at the odds.
I think it'll go smoother next time too. Look, I had no idea what I was doing. I was 0-4. Every one of my bets was a big loser.
Yeah.
But you know, I was just betting on name or long shot. All right. As I mentioned, we got Jason Lockham for a little bit later in the show. He's got a bunch of NFL rumors. NFL draft coming up Thursday. We'll get into that. Coming up next, though, we will break down the first two episodes of The Last Dance, which aired on ESPN last night, about the great Bulls team and their last run at an NBA championship.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll do that next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Remember, you can always call us at 800-636-1067. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. And you can always tweet us at Junks Radio. So how many of you guys watched both episodes of The Last Dance last night?
Oh, I definitely watched it.
I did not.
I watched the entire first episode in about 15 minutes of the second.
I watched both. I was excited because my son showed interest in it, and because I think he and his boys were all going to watch, so he came up and watched with me. I have to say, I'm a huge Jordan guy. I was super excited to watch it, and I was entertained, but I think maybe I was hoping for even more. So I was actually left a little wanting.
Were there commercial breaks?
Yes.
Yep.
Commercial breaks were annoying. I determined it's better to watch it on DVR because
right.
You could fast forward through the commercials. The commercials were killer. I kept worried every time they went to commercial that my kid was going to lose interest.
I'll do that today. I'll go right through all the commercials.
And I don't know. There's something about it. I just It was so hyped that maybe because I know you already know most of this stuff, I just felt like there wasn't that much groundbreaking stuff in there.
There wasn't a ton, but it was still cool to see like footage of Scottie Pippen playing in college. Like,
that was very cool.
I'd never seen that before.
Very cool.
Footage of MJ like in his third NBA game, like putting the team on his back.
Yeah,
like, that's what I'm watching it for. Is because I'm not a big Jordan mark, but obviously I know his impact on basketball and, you know, the world and selling shoes and all that. But to see those nuggets that I hadn't seen before is worth it. And the old footage of you know, him going up against like Sidney Moncrief from the Bucks, like that to me is what makes it worth it.
They really went a long way, though. I mean, like I don't know, when they interviewed Rod Higgins, I was just like, all right, come on, just. I don't know. There's just so many interviews.
10 episodes, though. You're going to get some of
that. I know. I had it built up so high that I was a little bit, if I had to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed.
All right, so grade it. Grade it for me.
For me, a B+.
All right, that's good. That's strong.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, it's Michael Jordan. It's a documentary on Jordan.
Right.
And him, and also the part of it that gets an A+ for me, I don't give it overall an A+. I give it a B, but the A++ is him goofing on Jerry Krause.
Oh, they were merciless with him.
Just joning right to his face. It's not like it's behind closed doors. That, to me, is just a knee slapper.
Right. So how much was he interviewed in the first two episodes?
Oh, throughout.
Yeah.
Throughout. You could tell. Here's one thing. You could tell he's either high, drunk, or he was crying the whole time because his eyes are bloodshot.
Oh, really?
And, you know, when we read that he has a cocktail right next to him, he's clearly drinking a whiskey, a bourbon, or scotch.
It's a tall pour, too.
It's not
a wimpy pour.
Yeah, so he's got a cigar, and he's got a, as Cake says, a tall pour of something, some dark liquor there.
Yeah.
So he's either hammered, high, or we also had read that, you know, he had to stop the cameras because he was breaking down quite a bit during it. You could see that. Did you notice that, Cakes? His eyes?
Yeah, he definitely looked a little puffy.
Yeah.
Well, like bloodshot. I don't know whether it was from drinking or from the, I would guess more too that, you know, it's all the nostalgia and a lot of feelings got mixed up and, you know, he had to have the camera stop from time to time. But
right.
Man, that pour of liquor was that was something to behold.
Why wouldn't they show him crying? It would add a lot more to it.
Because what I read, I don't know if you read the same thing, even though we had the director on, he said, MJ never said don't use that, but he would tell him to stop shooting when he was breaking down. Like he'd say, need a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I feel like they kind of showed him crying when they passed him the iPad and he played a video of his mom reading a letter that he sent to his mom while he was in college.
Asking for
so when he was
money.
At North Carolina, he was short on dough.
And he needed and stamps asked her, like Jason back in the day.
Yeah. He asked his mom to send him $20 in stamps.
Right. No, I mean, it was overall, it was good, and I'll watch it next week. And I was disappointed that I would like to see it be like five straight nights, like Roots or something. You know what I mean? Like every night.
I know.
Like, totally. Can I think of an older reference, Cakes?
Yeah. Well,
that is.
I'm with you in terms of wanting, though. I wish that it was just available like Netflix. I would have cranked. I would have probably stayed up till about 2-3 in the morning watching like five episodes. But the commercials were definitely annoying because you're just not used to it.
Yeah.
Well, at least it gives you something to look forward to every weekend.
Yeah,
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If anybody wants to chime in, you can 800-636-1067 or hit up Jason on the Vibe Machine or tweet us at Junks Radio. I think most people really liked it, and I found it interesting over the weekend. It's not definitive, but there was a lot of speculation that the reason that Jordan wanted to do this is because more and more people are saying that he's not the greatest of all time. They're buying into LeBron being better than Jordan. And he wanted to put it out there to show how much better he is or was than LeBron James.
Right.
Well, I just hope that, you know, like you said, like your son, anybody who's 25 or even 30 and younger who really didn't get to see Jordan in his prime, that's what I want them to watch it because I assume there's a lot of game footage.
Well, that's what Awad's messaging me right now. Awad's 27. He says
saw Jordan.
He says it's an A+. It's the best thing he's ever seen.
Yeah.
But guys who are 27, they pretty much know Jordan either as a Wizard or YouTube highlights. They didn't live through that. They didn't. They don't have the experience. So for them, this is brand new. This is incredible. But I think if you're a little bit older, my age, the junkie's age, yeah, it's probably not an A because you know most of these stories. Now, I didn't know that some of the stuff was cool, like Jordan telling that the locker room was a cocaine circus or the hotel room.
That was a good story.
I mean, some of that stuff was pretty cool, but a lot of the footage we'd seen before.
I'm with you, Drab, that AWOD didn't live through the era where he didn't know that the Bullets / Wizards didn't have a prayer of advancing in the playoffs against a team like that. Like, they just had no chance of doing anything in the playoffs when Michael Jordan was at the peak of his powers and that team was together.
The other thing that jumped out at me a little bit, and I don't know if I can articulate this well, but, you know, Jordan, all that stuff that he was doing was like a combination of MJ and or of like Dr. J and like Elgin Baylor and all that stuff, and he kind of created something like those moves back then were like revolutionary, the way he hung in the air and the 360s and the up and unders and all that. But now a lot of guys today do that. So I also feel like as I'm watching my son watch this and I'm telling him how great Jordan was, I'm worried that he's thinking, well, you know, DeMar DeRozan could do that. You know what I mean? Like any guy can do that stuff now. But it was revolutionary when MJ was doing it.
Well, that's what it is. It's all built off of what he did. And he built his game off, like you said, guys who came before him. Guys like Kobe and LeBron built their games off of what guys like Jordan did.
Right.
And then going forward, guys will build their games off of what LeBron's doing. So, I mean, the younger kids just have to understand back then when he was so dominant, that was the equivalent of what you're watching now when you see LeBron dominate the league.
Right, but he was the one, like, he started all this, like, flying in the air. And
his athleticism was stupid.
Yeah, and, you know.
I mean, there were other guys that did it. He just did it better.
He did it better.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they pointed out in the documentary, his footwork was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the way that he could do turnaround jump shot. Like
everything was fundamental.
Like, he had the athleticism, but he had the fundamentals to go along with
it. Like, he was square, and everything was fundamental. Yeah. It was just
And
sweet.
Then he had the killer inside of him, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just rare to see that. I mean, some guys have it now, but it's just rare to see all of that in one player.
Mm-hmm. And the closest we've seen since him is Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
LeBron, better player than Kobe, but Kobe and the Mamba mentality was a killer like Michael Jordan.
Well, Kobe directly ripped MJ's game. I mean, just stole the whole
But he
thing.
Had that mentality.
Yeah.
That's why he could go out in his last game when he was washed up and score 60.
Well, I'll tell you what jumped out at me more, and Cakes touched on it a little bit, was you forget how great Pippen was. At least I do.
Oh, he was so
good. I mean, I knew Pippen was great, but, I mean, you forget because you're just so focused on MJ that you're like, oh, my God, I mean, sometimes they were showing clips, and I was like, wait a second, is that Jordan or Pippen? You know what I mean? Because I'm watching it from afar. The footage is bad. And they were very similar in their athleticism and the things that they could do.
He was very good, and he fit that team perfectly, but he was a second banana.
Of course.
When he went out on his own, he was not one of the top players in the league.
Well, also, when he went on his own, it was older. It was like, what, 31, 32? I mean, but still, if you watch those clips, when he was at the peak of his powers, he was a freak.
He was a great
player. Absolute freak. Yeah.
He was. Jordan couldn't have won without Pippen.
Oh, and he says as much. You know, he touches on that definitely, at least in the first episode.
Second banana, absolutely, but Jordan couldn't have won those rings without him.
I didn't think he came off, you know, all the hype beforehand. And again, if you want to chime in, 800-636-667. It is early. I didn't think he came off as a big a-hole. I mean, he yells at a couple of teammates, big deal. He's the best player on the team. He's trying to get the other guys to step up. They're pros. Handle it.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I think, you know, if that's what he's worried about, then he's crazy. So I think there must be more coming.
Yeah, because I mean, they didn't show much. They showed him yelling at, like, Tony Kukoc and other players.
He even yelled at Harper, which is his boy.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be awesome.
You're probably going to watch it with no pants on.
Probably. Just pull him right down.
Just take him right off.
Lay in the bed. Yep. Right.
That's the way you got to watch it.
I don't know. With so little to look forward to in life with us stuck at home, I don't know how you bypass that and wait till the next day.
Well, there's no way I was going to – I couldn't stay up till 11. I was just too tired. There's no way I could do that.
Yeah, I actually did. My son had to – twice. He said, Dad, you're dozing off. Twice I did doze off at like 10:30 and then like 10:50.
And like you said, Eric, I mean – I'm so used to watching things either on DVR or on Netflix where there's no commercials. I can't sit through, you know, 15, 20 minutes of commercials every hour. I can't do it.
I was planning on starting it at 9:30, and so that I could, you know, that way I would always be behind it and I could fast forward through. But my kid came up right at 8:59. Mm-hmm. And at that point, while he's excited and has enthusiasm, I'm not going to say, go back downstairs for a half hour, because he may never come back up. So right. I said, okay, well, we'll just sit and grin and bear it and watch it through the commercials.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where they go from here. You know, I found myself also wanting to tell my kid, oh, that's Dean Smith. You got to know, you know, and I'm trying to explain who these guys were.
A little history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I had four of my five. My 17-year-old daughter, she just doesn't care. She's at that age where she just doesn't
care. She wasn't sized.
Yeah, but my 10-year-old was in. My wife was in. Steven was in. So we did pretty good.
I also
here.
Like seeing the old school lack of crowd shots for the Chicago Bulls pre-Michael Jordan.
Right.
Like their indoor soccer team was outdrawing the Chicago Bulls pre-Michael Jordan. Like that was – I knew they were bad, but I didn't know they were that bad bad.
When he talked about like the cocaine – parties and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to pull the roster up right now. But like Orlando Woolridge, he had a known cocaine problem.
Right. Yeah.
Was that guard?
I don't know if he was on the team though when Jordan arrived. Maybe he was.
He looked like he was there.
He was.
I think in the early years. I don't know if he was there his rookie season.
No. Well, I think he was. He was there in those footage, but maybe not.
Oh yeah. No, he was definitely there.
He was there.
Yeah.
What about, was Michael Ray Richardson? Or no, he was with the Nets. Was he ever with the Bulls?
Don't know.
We're going to go through that roster. Dudley Bradley.
I don't remember Richardson being with the Bulls.
No, Rod Higgins. Oh, Quentin Daly. I'm pretty sure
he had a drug problem. He definitely did.
Reggie Theus, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if he was doing lines.
Most of those guys probably were. I mean, he was popular.
Yeah. He said that he gives a story where he was just walking around the hotel or something. He heard a commotion. He knocked on the door, and they let him in, and the whole team was back there with hookers and blow and everything.
Yeah, he said the weed guys were over here. There was lines over here.
The girls over there.
Women. He's just like, I got to get out of here.
He was still pretty
mixed up in all this.
Yeah, he was still pretty, I guess, innocent would be the word. Yeah.
Yesterday, I actually watched, and my daughter got me to watch it. It's called Unstoppable. It's the documentary on Beth Hamilton, the professional surfer who had her arm cut off, bit off by the shark.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good.
Is she a beast surfer? She's like really good.
Yeah, she was like world champion.
Does she still do it?
She still does. Now, she's got two kids, so, you know, she's a lot old. Well, I don't know if she's older than her competitors, but a lot of the competitors don't have families yet. But it's really well done. I think you guys would like it. It's called Unstoppable.
Yeah.
All right. Phone number again if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We will talk some NFL draft. Draft just days away now, coming up on Thursday. Jason Lockham, for NFL Insider for CBS Sports. He'll join us at 9 here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You know, Jason, you and I couldn't be more different when it comes to going to bed. You're very disciplined. You're going to watch The Last Dance today.
Yeah.
I not only watched The Last Dance, both episodes, but then I watched Homeland after that.
You did.
You are a glutton.
Oh, Homeland's so good.
I'll watch all three of those today.
How can I go to bed with that? I mean, we can't go anywhere. It's not like, it's not like I don't have time to maybe catch up on sleep a little bit later in the day.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, we're just different. I can't do
that. I do both. I try to go to bed relatively early and then just make a beeline for a nap as soon as the show is done.
Is that what you do every day?
Nearly every day during the quarantine. Almost every day.
Are you going back upstairs to your room under the covers, like the whole nine?
Sometimes it's couch on this level. Other times it's back up into the bed. And I try to pull off a drab and sleep for like 90 minutes.
I'll tell you the main reason I don't nap during the day. And I probably could if I really put my mind to it. If I just, lay down there, put the fan on. I don't like the way I feel when I get up after naps.
I don't love it either.
I feel great.
I feel more lethargic and more tired, and I hate that feeling. So I just power through it. Unless I'm really tired. I usually 9 out of 10 times, I just say, screw it. I'll just wait until, 8 or 9.
Exhaustion makes up for the terrible feeling that when you wake up, you do feel a little groggy. It takes a little bit to walk around. Maybe you have some coffee or something. Yeah,
right. I sleep for 90 minutes, and then if the next 20 after I wake up, I'm walking around in a little bit of a haze or a fog, so be it.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
What else do you have to do?
Right.
Well, especially now. Well, yesterday, what I did is because every day is like Groundhog Day, and I enjoy making fires so much, I made a fire at noon, and I had it until 8:45, until right before The Last Dance. So all I did was just sit outside and feed the fire.
That's feeding it a lot of wood.
All day. And you know what? I didn't have one cocktail. I didn't have one drink.
Look at you.
I just wanted to just play with the fire, gather wood, throw the kindling in there, and I did it for 8 hours and 45 minutes.
You went back to your primordial days.
Yep.
Back to your caveman days.
Don't your clothes smell like smoke all night?
I took my clothes off and took a shower when I got out of there. Yeah. But it was so beautiful. I was like, why am I going to just sit inside for most of this and periodically go out and shoot some baskets or something? Why don't I just spend the whole day outside? So that's what I did, and I don't know. I might do that again today. What else is there to do? There's nothing to do.
Zippy.
I'm the fire king during the quarantine. I just go out there and make fire. I love it.
Well, I don't have that luxury, but I have to take 2 cars in to get service today.
Well, that's something to do.
Actually, all 3 of the cars need it, but I'm only going to do 2 today. Actually, I got to call and make an appointment. Anyway, so that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be a hassle.
So when you say, are you going to drop it off or are you going to wait in the waiting room with donks?
I'll probably drop it off. I'm probably going to have to take all 3 cars. And so my wife will drive one, my daughter, and I'll drive another. And then we'll just drop the 2 off.
And then hop in the car.
They'll hop in the car and I'll go back and pick them up at some point.
Right.
This is where I'm also different from you. I'm down to just 1 car. My wife was saying that it feels weird. It doesn't matter. But she essentially doesn't have a car. I was like, don't need a car when you have to stay at home and your job is at a gym, which is not open.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. I got to call Colonial Parking again because they didn't respond to my email.
They don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, they don't want to hear.
They want to collect the money.
Yeah, what a nightmare.
They probably don't even have a customer service department. That probably doesn't even exist.
No. Pete gave me the person to contact. He gave me the hookup and they just did not respond.
Yeah, you got to call them.
Got to call them. I mean, who knows? When do you think that they're going to want us to go back? I don't know.
Now, D.C. has the stay-at-home orders until May 15th, right?
Is that what it is?
The latest from the mayor, Mayor Bowser.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to say July 4th or later.
I'm going to say it's after July 4th, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Eric, why can't you just call your card and then say, hey, I can't get in contact with the people at this company. I need to make this automatic payment stop.
I could, but I'd rather work out an agreement with them so that it's sort of like on hold. I don't want to lose my spot.
Well,
I'm saying.
I understand that, but if they're being unresponsive about it.
I haven't tried to call, to be fair. I've just sent an email. So I just need to call and talk to somebody. But I might resort to that, Valdez. I don't know.
You know what you could do is, if you're bored, you could drive in because there are the people are in the office here.
Right, and I like that one dude, the real skinny dude, looks like he's from Somalia. I mean, he's a nice guy, smokes all the time.
Yeah.
super nice dude. If he didn't have
smoke breaks than Rom.
Yeah, if the corona hadn't killed him, then it's not that deadly. Because that guy's going to go down in 2 seconds.
By the way, one thing about that horsey happy hour we did on Friday.
Yeah.
That was flawed. I mean, there were a couple things. I think overall it was great, and people checked it out.
I didn't think there was a flaw.
We were a little bit late on putting out the links, and this was the flaw. A couple of us were waiting for a shipment of alcohol that never arrived.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you have to have backup plans. I mean, you can't just rely on that.
Well, you got to reach out and touch someone, because I contacted Bobby Balicki from Corona, and I went up and picked up 3 cases of Corona Light at the Total Wine in Leesburg.
So I had 2 delivered yesterday.
I want to thank Bobby Balicki.
Yeah.
From Corona. He hooked me up this weekend.
Yeah. I think that was just Michelle, our salesperson at Corona, and everything, just couldn't get the details, I guess, locked up, you know, in time. My understanding is, though, there could be a Cinco de Mayo thing in our future.
Oh, yeah. Very good. It's not that far away.
Yeah. A Cinco de Mayo Zoom happy hour
thingy. I got 3 cases sitting in my garage right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I had 2 delivered.
Well, you had them delivered. I actually went and picked them up.
Yeah. I don't know. I need to get – here's what I want to throw out there. Are you the one that has the deal with Bare Knuckle?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm running low on my whiskey.
Oh, Bare Knuckle's – I'm not a bourbon or whiskey guy, but Bare Knuckle is legit.
Can you put me in touch with somebody over there? Maybe they could give your boy a little delivery?
Sure.
You know what else, EB? I saw them tweet over the weekend. You know what else they could deliver you?
What?
A lot of hand sanitizer.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, because they, you know, like a lot of these distilleries.
That's what they're doing?
They're switching over, and not only are they making bourbon and whiskey, they're cranking out hand sanitizer during the quarantine.
Right.
So
I'm in.
You get, like, just bottles of whiskey and bottles of hand sanitizer.
Maybe the only thing better would be giving out sex. I mean, that's,
well, I don't know if
what
they're
else
doing,
do you want?
Pretty sure they're not doing that. But
right.
You can get those other 2 items in
you're pretty sure.
Doubt. Yes. Yeah.
No. But Jason, you need to text me or email me a connection.
Who's the
salesperson for that?
The salesperson is Sam Wienerschnitzel.
Sam Weiner.
Yeah, it's KO Distilling. I've been doing spots for them for years.
Right.
I'll hook it up.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
Because
I'm seriously, I mean, you know, I'm drinking everything. There's not much left.
Yeah, your provisions are running low.
You know, I've gone through all the gin. I've gone through all the vodka. I've gone through all the Jack. I've gone through my rye whiskey. I'm down to a little bit of Jim Beam. I don't, you know.
He had a vodka drink. He had a whiskey drink. He had a cider drink.
Did you drink your Cosmo from Founding Farmers?
I feel like that's a little of a kind of a womanly drink for me. I mean, I'm not against it, but I feel like that's not like a manly drink. So I don't.
That's fine. Bring on the womanly drinks over here.
Ship them over here.
Because I'm all about
those.
It's
so sweet that it kind of gives you a little bit of a hangover, I feel like. So I don't know. I'm not a huge Cosmo guy. But
you might have to drive the KO Distilling in Manassas to pick up the Bare Knuckle.
See, that's the thing. I'm not
sized.
No.
I'm not sure if they'll deliver it. Well, Sam can go. Sam will probably do it. He does anything we
could
ask.
Could be your delivery
no,
boy.
No, I'm not going to ask Sam to drive there. But can they ship it and I'll pay the shipping?
Shipping.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I mean? I just don't want to drive to Manassas. Although well, I got
you,
nothing else to
give
do.
Give you something to do.
Yeah.
Hey, although, you'd be violating a state order.
Yeah, if you get pulled over.
Oh, well, I don't want to do that. I'm a law abider.
You might get pulled over. Nah, just tell me you're going to play golf.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Well, people are doing it all the time.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think you're supposed to. So I want to hear from people. Did they love the Zoom thing that we did? It seemed like the feedback we got was amazing. JP mentioned that I think we maybe peaked in the 700 some odd people watching at one time. By the end of the day, we had about 14,000 people that
had
checked
it out. But
it
was hard. It was basically impossible to interact with anybody.
Yeah, it was too much going on. Yeah.
We were too busy bombarding Valdez with bets or figuring out which – are we at Gulfstream or are we at Oaklawn? What are we doing next? I mean, it was a little bit frantic.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to interact with the people as much as I had hoped.
Yeah.
But –
I did on the Facebook chat.
Yeah, we were. You guys, I don't think, had the chat open. JP and I were talking.
No, I did. I did, but I was making I made 14 bets. JP made 4 bets. I mean, you know.
I was betting every race.
Yeah, it was hard for me to do it because, you know, I was trying to concentrate and figure out what I wanted to do.
I know you like screaming at Valdez. I think you got to get your own account.
I just think it made it more fun.
Well, I mean, it was kind of fun, but people were also bitter that you were screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
I just shut it down because Bickle screamed. I'm like, no one can hear me. I can barely hear myself think. I'm just like, right. Let him do it.
I just get excited, man. I get excited for betting on the horse.
Valdez, do they offer – are there races every single day? So will there be races today?
Somewhere.
I think so. At some tracks. I know like at Tampa, they'll only run like 3 or 4 times a week. I will say that I thought Pete Medhurst was the superstar of the Zoom Horsey Happy Hour. He was explaining things to everyone, helping people read the sheets, giving out winners.
I thought the star was Uncle Kenny.
Uncle Kenny didn't want anything to do with me.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
That was definitely embarrassing.
You got the Uncle Kenny blow off.
Why do you say that?
Because he couldn't have dismissed me any quicker.
He was clearly busy. Yeah. I don't know what he was doing, but he was definitely busy.
Yeah. I was definitely bothering him.
Did he know he was on the Zoom? Audio anyway.
No, I don't think he knew.
Oh, okay.
He definitely didn't know.
I told him I was going to try and call him for some racing fatties earlier in the day, and he never replied to my text.
Never responded.
Yeah. So I mean, he didn't want anything to do with me.
Well, you hooked me because, like I said at the top of the show, I've been doing head-to-head matchups now for I did it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Right. I made 55 wagers in head-to-heads.
You have a hookup? Do you have a horsey boy? Like you have a hockey boy, and now you have a horsey boy?
No, I don't have. Well, I mean, I had people texting me. Jimmy Patsos was actually texting me. during that virtual happy hour, he was texting me fatties.
He's got a horse fever?
Is he a horse guy?
He must be. I didn't know he was, but
actually,
he must be.
That was one thing that was interesting. I noticed in the Facebook chat room, you could see people who were joining.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that we knew that joined. Like I saw at one point, like Rob Carlin from NBC Sports Washington popped on.
I couldn't tell, yeah.
And I should have written down the names because I saw a few that I recognized. You know, guys
Valdez.
That we hadn't seen in a long time.
Did I ruin it for you by screaming and hollering? If I did, I'll make my own account.
No, it was fine. I just next time I'll have to get the sheets ahead of time and just do the races because I thought that I would be able to kind of put your stuff in and then look at the sheets and then do my stuff. That was impossible to do.
Right. Well, you still did well. You still finished up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple things. When I told Dukes about it the other day, he was like, yeah, that's cool. But he didn't really know what we were doing. And then he found out that there was like 14,000 people had watched that thing and 900 at a time.
Right. Yeah.
He was now like, he wants to do it?
No. Oh. And then he goes like, you guys just hoard me.
Right.
Why?
Because all the P1s are watching the, you know.
Oh, because it was during the show.
During the show. So we got to try to find, like, the Santa Anita races or something.
right at the start of a show.
I don't know.
Well, do they have them? Because I would rather do it at night. I don't really like drinking at 2.
I think our audience would be way bigger at night.
Yeah. I mean, but do they run anywhere, like, at 6 p.m. any day?
I mean, if they're racing in California, they got to.
No, because I don't think California is racing.
I was going to say, they're out. All the horses die in Santa Anita.
What about like in Europe or something? We don't care.
There might be Euro races or something like that.
I don't even know. Cakes like
Euro races.
Is Europe ahead of us or behind us?
They're ahead of us.
Ahead.
Yeah. They're ahead. I don't even know.
Euro races. Maybe. We'll
just think California's behind us.
Maybe
we'll go the other way.
So it wouldn't help us then, would it?
No, I don't think there's anything to do at 6. Although I did think about this because you know how Madden simulations are hot right now?
Yeah.
For people that want to bet on them, that we would have a Madden simulation. We'd all watch the game.
Oh.
Also, Eric, you got to let Pete cook a little bit.
What do you mean?
You're blasting the TV the whole time because you only care about the results. It's a bit. It's a show community thing.
No.
Everybody wants to hear
Pete. You weren't listening to Pete. Pete was saying
he didn't even want to do it
because he was like, it's too many horses. He couldn't even keep track.
Everybody in the chat was saying all they wanted to hear was Pete during the races.
Well, listen, I
would
love to hear
turning up some broad, you know, giving play-by-play.
Because I wanted to know who was winning what.
Well, stare at the screens. Look at the numbers.
You couldn't see the numbers. Most times when you have it, Valdez will tell you, they usually put the numbers, like who's in first, like it would go 5, 4, 3, 2.
If you just watch it, you can figure it out.
I was having a hard time, especially the inside horses. Like if you got caught in the middle, I didn't know what horse was what. Oh. And Pete could barely see.
All in all, I think we made 48 total bets, and then we were only down like 20-some bucks.
That's not bad
Although the 48 bets is a lot more because, Eric, because when you do a try box, you have like 12 bets on one ticket. So it was probably closer to like 150.
Oh, well, then I made a ton of bets.
Yeah.
Because I said I made 14 bets, but they were all 12. So I made 100. What's 14 times 12?
Who knows that?
Way over 140.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that.
What is that, JP? You're the math guy.
168?
Yeah, I made 168 bets, only lost 40. That's
I'm
not
guessing
bad.
168. I think 168.
Dude, if one of my long shots hits, the 40-1 hit and I didn't have him. Did anybody have that one?
I didn't have him.
That one horse, you remember Valdez?
Yeah, the
40-1 hit.
Yep.
And that's right, exactly what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. If you want to chime in, you certainly can. 800-636-1067. I know we got a couple people that want to chime in on the Jordan Doc and more. Plus, we'll open up the Junkie Sports page next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.